Good morning, FAC. If you're joining us here at the Deerfoot campus or the Southwest or online campus, just want to say welcome. We are so glad that you are here. If it's your first time here, and I know there are some of you that it is your first time here, an extra warm welcome to you. We hope that you feel welcomed and encouraged today, and we are so glad that you are spending time with us today as we dive into God's Word. So we're continuing our series, The Apostles' Creed, and as Hernando mentioned, our topic, our focus is forgiveness. And the particular line in the Apostles' Creed that we're working through is, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. So we're going to spend our time unpacking forgiveness, what it means to receive forgiveness from God, but also what it means to extend forgiveness to those around us. Forgiveness can be a complicated and complex topic to unpack, and even more complex to process and work through. It can be extremely difficult to extend forgiveness to those who have hurt us or to ask for forgiveness to those we have hurt. And I hope by the end of our time together here that you will have a little bit of a better understanding of what forgiveness is as a follower of Jesus, or at the very least, this would be an encouragement to you to seek and continue learning about forgiveness in your own life. We live in a broken world. That's a fact. And I believe deep down in our hearts, we know that there's something wrong with our current state of being. There's something wrong with people and the world in which we live. We're broken, we've made mistakes, we don't have it all together. You, me, we're not perfect. With our words and our actions, we have the potential to hurt and also to be hurt. And if we look at our world, for me, it's clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have hurt someone intentionally or unintentionally. We've all fallen short of God's perfect standard. In the eyes of a holy God who is without sin, we fall extremely short. We don't come even close to the level of holiness and perfection that compares to our God. We simply don't measure up. We lie, we steal, we cheat. And you're lying if you don't say you do. By our own merit, we don't deserve anything from God. We always fall short by our own efforts, always striving, never attaining the peace that we need. We know within our hearts there is something missing. We're seeking to fill it. And on our own, we will never reach God, struggling to connect with Him. I think that's why a lot of us feel like we're never good enough, not loved enough, not valued enough, because of the brokenness of the world in which we live, the hole in our hearts. We want healing. We want peace. We want to love and be loved for who we are. But something just isn't right. But God, in His great love for us, made a way for us to connect with Him. He fixed the problem. The answer? Jesus. Jesus has come to make right our relationship with God and with others. Now, before Jesus made His appearance on the world stage, God had chosen the nation of Israel to be His witness to the world. God had a special relationship with this group of people over any other group. And we read about this in the Old Testament. So another way to look at the Old Testament is the Old Covenant. Covenant meaning legal contract and agreement. So this, in this case, it's between God and the nation of Israel, which included a very, very long list of rules and regulations. When the rules were broken, God established a sacrificial system that would allow the nation of Israel to be cleansed, to be forgiven temporarily from their sins, the things they've done wrong. But these sacrifices had to be repeated over and over and over again. Month after month, year after year, they would offer their sacrifices to God through the priests. Because only the priests could enter the holy place, and only the high priest could enter the most holy place where God's presence was one time a year. All that to say, there was a lot required to receive forgiveness, to be cleansed of their sin, to make right their conscience, and it was only temporary. So this is the old covenant, you know, the law of Moses in a nutshell. And the new covenant, God said Israel would be restored. Sins would finally be forgiven completely and wholly. And people will know God directly. Everyone is invited now to have a personal relationship with God. And we will have his law written on our hearts so that we will want to obey him. So the old covenant had the nation of Israel offering sacrifices regularly. Under the new covenant, Jesus offers himself as the sacrifice to cleanse our conscience from all things that lead to death so that we might have life. Jesus is the perfect, spotless, sinless sacrifice once and for all. No more need for that old sacrificial system. I'm going to read a passage from Hebrews 9, 11 through 15, but just a brief caveat here. If you'd like to learn more about the sacrificial system, the old covenant and the new covenant, we recently did a series through Hebrews, and you can check that out on the app, and you can listen to the sermons. So it's a whole series. Would encourage you to check that out. So starting in verse 11 from chapter 9. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they were outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Because of Christ, the great high priest, the mediator of this new covenant, our conscience can be cleansed. We can come into God's presence, approach the throne of grace anytime, so we serve the living God. We can be in an ongoing, life-giving, transformational relationship with God, our Creator, in our time of need. The old covenant was a system of laws and regulations that set apart the nation of Israel from the rest of the world, but they could not keep those laws, and people continually broke them. So they had to have the system to temporarily remove their sins. And the people, I mean, unless you were the high priest, could not access God's presence. The new covenant, it's for everyone. The law is the internal. It's written on our hearts. Through Jesus and his sacrifice, our sins are forgiven, removed once and for all. And because our sins are completely removed and forever forgiven, we can have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. And God's Spirit, instead of being in the temple in the Holy of Holies, lives and resides in every single one of us who call upon the name of Jesus. It's truly astounding. In the new covenant, Jesus opens the door for everyone and anyone who calls upon his name to be saved, forgiven, redeemed from death to life. Jesus has come to make right our relationship with God. We receive forgiveness and with others by extending forgiveness. And our first task is to learn to receive God's forgiveness, to ask God for forgiveness, to apologize for the things that we have done wrong, to turn away from our evil desires towards righteousness and holiness. I know it can be often a little intimidating, you know, to receive God's forgiveness because it means that we do have to face the wrong choices we've made. We have to ask for forgiveness for the sins that we've committed to God and to others. But I can promise you, it is the best thing that you can do. We experience a taste of heaven when we practice forgiveness. When we turn our face towards him instead of away. Facing our sins is hard. I'm not saying that forgiveness or practicing, you know, receiving and giving forgiveness is easy. But through Jesus and his work on the cross, he washes us clean, as white as snow, and we can stand pure and spotless before a holy God because of Jesus. I mean, what more could we want in life? That's what freedom is. God's forgiveness is a free gift. Many of us know that, and I've heard it. And it's available to anyone who receives it. And I know it can be hard to kind of understand forgiveness and how much we're truly forgiven. You know, surely, you know, can God forgive a sinner like me? And I hope this will give you a picture. And I love this. And it's journeyed with me for most of my life. And it comes from Psalm 103, verses 11 through 12. And it reads this: "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear them, for fear him." And this verse right here: "As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." Let me say that last line. "As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." So here's the globe, okay? Okay, we're gonna go up the globe. We're going north. North, north, north. You hit the top. What do you hit? The North Pole, okay? Then keep going. Which direction are you going? South. Wonderful. Okay, so north, south, they meet at the North and South Pole. They meet. I'm gonna go east now, okay? Going east. I actually don't know if this is actually east, but okay. Hypothetically, we're going east, right? East, around. When do I meet west? Never. Same thing with west, going round and around and around. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. They're gone. They don't touch us. They never meet. That's freedom. That's walking in grace, knowing that past, present, future, all of it, all our sins, gone as far as the east is from the west. And I think we will spend a very long time learning what it means to walk in freedom, to walk in his grace. In a 7th century sermon on God's mercy, Isaac the Syrian, he said this. He said, "As a handful of sand is thrown into the great sea, so are the sins of all flesh in comparison with the mind of God. And just as a strongly flowing stream is not obstructed by a handful of dust, So the mercy of the Creator is not stemmed by the sins of his creature. So if you think you're too far gone, you've done too many bad things, and there's no way that God can love you, that is a lie, straight from the pit of hell. Jesus is here for you. He's here to restore you, to give you peace, to take back what the enemy has stolen. So let love, let forgiveness, let God's mercy sweep you away. And my prayer for us, and even myself, is that I would learn to experience, appreciate, and be wrapped up in the love of God, the forgiveness of him and his mercy every single day. In Ephesians 2, 3-10, we read, "All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts." All of us. "Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparably riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do his good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We deserved wrath, but because of his great love for us, we are saved, and we are invited to do good works, all for Jesus." And I want us to think of I want to do another word picture here. So picture yourself standing before a judge, waiting to be condemned for all the wrong things that you've done. And you know you've been not so nice. So you're standing before a judge, and Jesus, he walks in, and where does he stand? He stands in front of you. And he says to the judge, "Take me. I will pay the price for their wrongdoing. I give my life for theirs." Jesus says, "I give my life for Corey so that he can experience God's love, God's grace, his forgiveness, so that he might be free." Put yourself there. Put your name there. Jesus is standing there in front of you. However, you have to invite him in. That's the catch. You need to invite Jesus in to your life to be a part of your story and your journey. And then you get to walk out of the courtroom free. Our debt is paid by the blood of Jesus, past, present, and future. No longer held liable for our sins because Jesus paid the price. We are covered by his blood, and anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is saved, forgiven, redeemed from death to life. So Jesus has come to make right our relationship with God. It's receiving forgiveness. And with others, extending forgiveness. As we live in his grace, we learn to know that we are forgiven. And God will always see Jesus in your place. Again, receiving forgiveness. He wants to take your place. I think it's important for all of us to acknowledge that we need God to turn from our sins, to turn towards God and receive his love and forgiveness in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'm just going to take a moment. We're going to stop here. We're going to pray. If you need to receive God's forgiveness, I would encourage you to pray with me. If you've been following Jesus for a long time, I think it's okay. It's okay to reflect back and be thankful for all that he's done in your life. Let's take a moment and pray. God, I know that I have sinned against you. And I know that I have followed my own desires and thoughts, that I lived for myself, that I've done some not so nice things. Forgive me, Father. Choose to live for you. Thank you for saving me from a life of sin. Thank you for giving me life and life to the full. I receive your love and your forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Friends, at any time, if you are looking for prayer, we always have the prayer team up front. They will be here at the end of the service. If you've come with someone, have the conversation. Go out for lunch. Talk about Jesus. If you want to talk to a staff member, we have green lanyards, and we'd love to continue the conversation with you. Or if you're joining us online, send us a message. Let's continue the conversation of what it means to follow Jesus. So once we've experienced and understand God's forgiveness and receive it, we're called, we're commanded to extend forgiveness to others. Forgiven people learn to forgive people. We are all about the forgiveness of sins, both in the spiritual sense, receiving it from God, also in the practical sense, extending it to others. So there's two components of extending forgiveness to think about. One is extending forgiveness to those who have hurt us, but also asking for forgiveness to those we have hurt. And as followers of Jesus, we're all about forgiveness because we are a forgiven people, learning to forgive others. So whether you consider yourself spiritually weak or spiritually strong, we're all covered by his forgiving grace. One of the most real signs of our faith is living lives of forgiveness to the people that God places along our paths, to those who deserve it, and to those who don't. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:12, in the New Living Translation, we read this: "And forgive our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." And a few verses later, we read, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Or later in Matthew 18 and verse 12, Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? I mean, like, surely that's a lot." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And we all know that it's not about the actual number, but that forgiveness is ongoing. It's what we're called to do. And extending forgiveness is hard work. So a little bit of a moment of vulnerability on my part. So I come from a divorced family. So in junior high, my parents separated and went their separate ways. And I had every right to be upset, to be angry. And I was, fair enough. My family was literally falling apart. I had an option. I could turn away from God, or I could turn to him. So I can look back and say, go Corey, because guess what? He didn't turn away from God. He turned towards him. And I remember reading these verses thinking, God, you're calling me to forgive the people in my life that hurt me, that are literally altering the course of my life forever. You're calling me to forgive. It's like, yes, forgive. Again and again and again and again. And I can't tell you how many, I didn't get it right all the time, but I was committed. I'm like, Jesus, if this is what you're calling me to do as a follower of Jesus, I'm gonna try and try and try. And if a junior high boy can do it, so can you. Because looking back, I know that my life, that I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God's forgiveness in my own life and the challenge of extending it to others. My wife and I, she's here this morning, we get to go to grandma's house because of God's grace and mercy in our family. As followers of Jesus, extending forgiveness is not a matter of preference. It's a command. I really don't know how else to strongly say this. It's the Jesus way. We love our enemies. We do good to those who persecute us. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We are called to love one another just as Jesus loved us. They will know who we are by our love. And we love because he first loved us. Maybe you've heard Pastor James say this before, but it's always worth repeating. We want to be known more for what we're for than what we're against. We celebrate each person as invaluable and irreplaceable in the eyes of God. Like Jesus, we love people when they least expect it and least deserve it. We love people when they least expect it and least deserve it. Extending forgiveness to those around us is a way that we show and express God's love when people least expect it and least deserve it. We don't extend forgiveness. We allow the root of bitterness to grow. And it's nasty. Some of you have been feeding that root and letting it grow into a tree. And Jesus is here and he wants to cut down that tree and take that root out. That's holding you back from experiencing the freedom that he has for you. We have to learn to walk in forgiveness. Because we have been forgiven, we must learn to forgive others. It's been said, and if you've been around, if you've been journeying with Jesus before, you probably heard this, and it's always worth repeating, not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It just doesn't work. Unforgiveness hurts you more than it hurts them. And if we don't learn to forgive others and ourselves, we'll never truly experience the freedom that Jesus offers us, because that's what it's about. And looking back over my life, I know that forgiveness is a journey, it's a process, and it's difficult. But I know, like I said, I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't practice forgiveness on a daily basis. I mean, we're always in our family that, I mean, I have two young kids. We have lots of conversations about forgiveness from my own attitude and also their attitude. Just kidding, they're angels, right? They don't have attitude. A 5 and a 2-year-old, right? I also think it's important to remember that forgiveness, it's not forgetting. I mean, that's in my own experience. It doesn't really seem possible for me to forget. I mean, God knows all, but because of Jesus, he promises to never hold our sins against us. Remember, Jesus is standing in our place, but in our relationships, we will carry scars. Again, that's the truth of my own experience. But if we practice forgiveness, We will experience healing. For some people, forgiveness, healing, it's quick, it's instant. But I would say for the mass majority of us, it's a process. It takes time. And I think both are okay. And I would say for most of us, forgiving someone who has wronged us, it doesn't make the pain magically vanish. Relationships are complicated. We're full of emotions. And we need to learn and recognize and understand our feelings and emotions. However, forgiveness does actually change the way that we treat and act towards people. Forgiveness changes our heart. Doesn't mean you become a doormat for people to walk over either, because I don't think that's what turning the cheek is really about. Setting boundaries on relationships is important, and forgiveness doesn't mean that you make it easy for the person to harm you again. God is a God of justice and mercy. We leave it in his hands. In Romans 12:19, we read, "Do not take revenge for my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" It's okay to long for justice, to give God the situation. However, the call to forgiveness is radical, but it allows us to give our pain over to our Father, and it lets him heal our hearts. It's why we need Jesus to help us show the way. Forgiving others, including our enemies, it's ongoing, lifelong process, but we have to take that first step. We have to take that first step. You may need to affirm yourself every day that you're living in forgiveness, that you forgave that person. Whatever comes to mind, give it to Jesus and know that he's taking care of it. I think there's another important aspect about forgiveness that Jesus is helping us see, that others are not defined by their sin either. That Jesus loves that person. He wants to see them experience forgiveness as well. As followers of Jesus, we respond to evil with kindness, compassion, and mercy. It's how our light shines in the darkness. Again, this is not an invitation to be a doormat. One can love and forgive and set healthy boundaries and parameters on relationships. And please, depending on the severity of the situation, I would encourage you to seek a Christian counselor or therapist to help you work through forgiveness in your own life. We are not God, and we cannot forgive in the same way that God forgives. And honestly, most of us need help. And I think it's okay. It's okay to ask for help as we learn to practice forgiveness in community. And on the flip side, I think it's also important that we realize that we need to ask forgiveness to those we have hurt. There's been a lot of nasty behavior floating around, even in the Christian community. And I'm an online campus pastor, so I actually spend a lot of my time online. And there's been a lot of un-Christ-like behavior. Just getting a lot of nasty words. A lot of things said that should have never been said. That's the truth. Has there been a moment where your behavior was not Christ-like? Something you said or posted that was unkind? Who have you hurt with your words? Who do you need to ask for forgiveness? I think one thing as parents, and I've been thinking about forgiveness a lot, obviously, the past few, a little bit here. And thinking about as parents, how we model what it means to follow Jesus in our homes, what it means to be a disciple. And I've always been challenged, and I'm grateful for my parents that set a good example of being the first ones to ask for forgiveness. That as a parent, I'm sure there's someone in this room that has yet to ask for forgiveness for some things that you have said to your child. And I would encourage you to spend time unpacking that and working through that with Jesus, of what it means to be an example of a follower of Jesus and be the first one. Not wait for them. I hear a lot of that. Well, they never came to me. Nah, it doesn't work like that. To go and seek, to go and ask for forgiveness. And I know there are people here today that need to make that step. Matthew 5, 23 through 25. We're going to be taking communion together. So this is a very fitting verse. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother or sister has something against you. So if you remember that someone has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them and then come offer your gift. Jesus is challenging us today to extend forgiveness to those who have hurt us, to ask for forgiveness to those we have hurt. And friends, I know it's difficult, but there is freedom that follows. So take the next few moments, ask the Holy Spirit, where in your heart do you need to extend forgiveness? What name or face comes to mind? The Creed helps us understand that as a people, we are sinful. We need God's forgiveness. And as a community, we continually practice forgiveness as a witness to the world. We are the forgiven. We learn to live in forgiveness as witnesses. We have forgiveness in our hearts, continually extending it to others, asking and receiving. So for some of you, we need to receive God's forgiveness. We need to turn away from our sins and accept what Jesus has done on the cross so that we might have life and have a living, active relationship with our Creator. Others need to be reminded that we need to extend forgiveness to someone who has hurt us. At least maybe today it's just giving it back to Jesus, asking Him to remove that root of bitterness. It's been growing. And others might need to ask for forgiveness for the actions, the words that you said that were not very nice. So take a moment today to think about, where are you at in your journey? I am forgiven for blank. I forgive blank. Maybe put a name in there. Or forgive me for blank. Our prayer team, they're going to come up front. They can actually come down now if our prayer team is here. They're going to make their way down. So we're just going to spend some time. The closing prayer, I'm not going to pray. You're going to pray. Or come up front and pray. If you need to work through with someone, if you just need someone to talk to, our prayer team would love to have that conversation with you. Again, spend some time reflecting on these words. I am forgiven for. I forgive. Or forgive me for. And if you're ready, please come down.